Trend number 7. The path ahead for gold. It was predictable when financial panic hit global markets in 2008 that many people would run for the perceived cover provided by gold, which is widely viewed as a hedge against inflation and instability. However, as the absolute return letter reminds us, gold has not actually proven to be a good hedge against inflation. In fact, gold doubled in price during the deflationary 1930s. And, although inflation has remained flat since 1999, gold has gone up steadily in price. On the other hand, gold is a good hedge against financial instability or disaster. The rising price of gold is a mirror of worry on the part of investors. Because gold makes up just 0.05% of total global net worth, its price is very sensitive to changes in investment patterns. A recent report in Bank Credit Analyst reveals that the mining of gold has been slowing down for the past 10 years, suggesting the concept of peak gold. But even so, BCA reports that the long-term outlook for gold is not great, and the metal appears to be overvalued at $1,200 per ounce. Gold soared by 500% between 2002 and 2007. Then, while stocks were dropping a third of their value, gold gained 50% in the past 3 years. When interest rates decrease, the price of gold goes up. And when people think that there's a risk of insolvency, they tend to buy more gold as well, again driving prices up. Gold is a strange asset, perhaps worth putting in a class by itself. The total amount of gold that has been mined is about 165,000 tons. Which is worth about $7 trillion at today's prices. That represents less than 3% of the combined value of all stocks, bonds, and bank deposits globally. And recent global bailouts amount to 4 times the value of all the gold in the world, according to the Gold Investor's Bible. In addition, about 60% of that gold is in use in jewelry, as crowns on people's teeth, or in some exotic industrial application. The amount of gold that is being stored as an investment is just 18% of all gold, representing just 0.5% of all the liquid assets in the world. In other words, it's a very sensitive market and one that is easy to disturb. And it also has subtle implications for your portfolio. If you increase your share of gold in your portfolio by 1%, gold would have to triple in value from present levels to justify that move. Gold has another interesting property. You would think that those in possession of gold mines would bring out as much of the metal as possible. That's not the case. It costs a lot of money to mine gold. If gold prices are rising, such as in the case with low interest rates, then mining companies can actually realize a greater gain by leaving the gold in the ground. That's because when they sell that gold, they have to do something with the money, and with interest rates low, there is less incentive to do that. In a bull gold market, leaving it in the ground lets it rise in value. That artificial shortage of gold then pushes the price even higher. Think of OPEC restricting the amount of oil it produces. Another influence on the price of gold is the behavior of central banks. Most of them have stopped selling gold, and many are now becoming net buyers. India made a deal with the IMF to buy 200 tons of gold. China is buying gold in its own domestic market and also putting money into companies that mine the ore. China has yet to buy gold on the open international market, but if it did, this could seriously influence the price, ramping up demand in an atmosphere of scarcity. China now owns 1,054 tons of gold, which represents 1.5% of its external reserves. That's not much when compared with other developing nations. If China brought its gold reserves up to the level of other emerging markets, it would have to buy another 2,174 tons, which equals all the gold mined everywhere on Earth in a single year. China's cash reserves are growing so fast, however, that the percentage it holds in gold has been dropping since 2000. If China wanted to keep its gold reserves at 2002 levels, it would have to add another 1,383 tons now and then add another 600 tons in the following 3 years. So we know there's demand for a shrinking supply of this commodity. Interest rates are low and central banks are buying, all factors that would tend to push the price of gold up. The question now is, Is gold in a bubble? It's difficult to say because gold is such an unusual commodity. And there's just so little of it compared to other commodities. Copper experienced a bubble, going up almost 200% in the year that ended in May of 2006. Then it fell nearly 40% in the next 9 months. We saw crude oil double in less than a year, hitting highs in the summer of 2008 and then crashing and losing 3/4 of its value. Those are real bubbles in commodities. Gold, on the contrary, has never risen more than 55% in any year since 1980. On the other hand, those other commodities are very useful. Copper is essential in electrical devices and other applications in industry and construction. And oil, of course, runs the world. Gold, by comparison, has relatively few real uses except for adornment. It makes nice dental crowns, but even nicer ones can be made of synthetic materials now. And there are a few specialized uses in industry, such as contacts for switches in precision equipment. Otherwise, gold is essentially useless. Another bearish case for gold is this. In the last 3 years, just less than 7,000 tons of gold was mined. Another 800 tons was sold by central banks. And another 4,000 tons was melted down from jewelry. The total is around 12,000 tons. Out of that, only around 8,000 was bought for use in jewelry, dentistry, and industry. The rest was bought and held as an investment. For gold to maintain its present price, demand for the metal as an investment has to continue to increase. If investors lag in their purchasing of gold, the price goes down. Here's another bad thing about gold. Unlike other commodities, which are quickly used up, virtually all the gold that was ever dug out of the ground still exists. One of the properties of gold that makes it useful is its indestructibility. It doesn't rust, it doesn't age, and it's very, very durable. So all of this gold is sitting in vaults waiting for some sort of sell signal. When it comes, that gold will get dumped on the market and the price will collapse. The question is, how far down could it go? Here's an interesting fact, observed by the bank credit analyst. Since 1871, gold has closely tracked the consumer price index. During those years, both the increase in the price of gold and the inflationary rise in the CPI went up by about 2% a year. Since 2002, the bull market has raised the price of gold by just under 3% a year. That means that the price of gold stands at more than twice the expected normal value. In other words, you could reasonably expect the price to return to its traditional level at some point, which is half its present value. So, what do we see going forward with gold? Consider these three forecasts. First, the near and medium-term factors exerting force on the price of gold favor an increase in price. That means that investors can safely buy and hold gold in that time frame. Price may fluctuate, but the overall trend should be positive. In the next year or so, then, mild dips in price are buy signals, not sell signals. Second, beyond that time horizon, savvy investors will begin to decrease the gold in their portfolios, anticipating its return to trend values in line with the consumer price index. And third, investors can time their exit by watching the fundamentals that influence the price of gold. Among them are six signs. 1. Low interest rates are one signal. When rates begin to rise, gold will weaken. 2. A sign that inflation will go down further would constitute a sell signal for gold. 3. Signs that the debt crisis in Europe is ending would significantly weaken gold. Gold is a hedge against uncertainty. When all is well or seems well, gold is less attractive. 4. As the dollar gets stronger, gold gets weaker. An increase in the trade-weighted index for the U.S. dollar is a sell signal. 5. If there is a gold rush in the retail market, that marks the peak. Informed investors will begin their move toward the exit, for then gold is almost surely forming a bubble. And 6. Watch the trend in the cost of put and call options that protect against a drop in the price of gold in relationship to the S&P 500. As the cost of that insurance goes up, the consensus among careful investors says that gold is going down.
Thank you for joining us this month to explore the latest trends and the ways in which they will impact your business, your career, and your life. All of us here at Trends invite you back next month when we will focus on more of the trends that are now emerging to shape your future.